The U.S.-based global AI leader NVIDIA recorded the largest ever one-day gain at Wall Street last week after it announced quarterly earnings and a sales outlook that soared past analysts' expectations. Now, according to Goldman Sachs, NVIDIA is now the, quote, most important stock on Earth. Its earnings led to bullish rallies across global stock markets, pushing U.S., Japan, and European stocks to record closing highs. Let's talk about more about NVIDIA, the booming AI market, and what it means for Korean companies. Professor Yang Jun-seok joining us on the line. Good morning, Professor Yang.
Good morning.
So let's begin to talk about this. The chip maker at the heart of the AI craze, NVIDIA, has had a record run. It added over $270 billion in market value last Thursday, rising more than 16% at closing, nearing $2 trillion U.S. dollars in valuation for the company. The impact was felt across the globe, pushing Japan's Nikkei and Europe's Stock 600 to new record levels. What do you make of this? And I ask carefully, could it also be overvalued to a certain extent?
Yes, but I think NVIDIA does deserve much of the current rise in the stock value, though there is some question on whether there is also some perhaps over-optimism and beginning of a small bubble that's involved here, especially since the increase was not only in NVIDIA stocks, but in stocks in general. Mm-hmm. But let's look at NVIDIA first. The NVIDIA has made itself into currently an indisposable player in the market. NVIDIA is well known because of its graphics chips, and this perhaps represents my playing too many video games instead of doing real research, but NVIDIA was created in 1993 by Jensen Huang and other engineers who broke away from AMD, which is a company which makes both CPU chips, which is the brain of a computer, as well as graphics chips. And if you're like in my age who played a lot of computer games back in the 1990s, you'll remember that there was actually a lot of companies which made graphics chips. But eventually the market settled down to just two main players, AMD and NVIDIA. And NVIDIA was more concentrated on graphics chips while AMD made CPUs competing with Intel and also made graphics chips competing with NVIDIA. And in the last 15 years or so, NVIDIA became the preferred graphics chips by gamers, making them the leading player in the graphics chip market. And if you look by computers for gaming, then you'll see most manufacturers or reviewers recommending NVIDIA chips over the AMD chips. And one of the reasons why NVIDIA became so strong is that, well, if you look at the CPU chips, which was where the action was maybe about 15 years ago, CPU chips in the last 15 years didn't really advance much. If you look at the capabilities of CPU chips between 15 years ago and now, there wasn't really that much. There was improvements, but there wasn't really that much of an innovation. Whereas graphics, you had scores of innovations, scores of improvements, partially because of improvements in gaming, but also more use of graphics in internet and other applications, including things like virtual reality. So graphics really took off in the last 10 years or so. And then NVIDIA, because the graphics chips started improving much faster than CPUs, and graphics chips, because they had to handle so many drawing operations, could handle multiple operations at a time, it became preferred chips to use by Bitcoins and cryptocurrency miners. So if you remember about 5 years ago when the cryptocurrency Bitcoin prices started taking off, NVIDIA graphics cards prices also took off because so many cryptocurrency miners were buying NVIDIA chips. And then when AI research started taking place, NVIDIA recognized this market relatively early, and they started tailoring their chips and their software that goes with these chips for AI applications as well as graphics applications. So when AI exploded in the last 2 years, so did NVIDIA chips. And now, even though they're marketed as graphics chips, they're used far beyond graphics applications. So as I said, NVIDIA deserves much of the increase in stock prices that we've seen in the last 2 years. But why do I say there's perhaps some bubbles involved? There's two fronts. The first is that with many previous revolutionary tech developments, sometimes the early stages go really well. They capture public imaginations. And in the end, yes, they do change the world, but the process is not necessarily very smooth. There is perhaps at the beginning very rapid rise because it catches people's attention, but then they hit a technical wall and the growth slows down. And even though they make changes in the economy, changes in the social fabric, it's perhaps less than what people imagined at the beginning.
So is it comparable to something like the dot-com bubble then?
There's a possibility.
Okay.
But I think what's being ignored somewhat is that, yes, dot-com bubble was a bubble. A lot of companies went out of business, but they did change the world in a lot of ways, even though they're not, they didn't change it perhaps as much as we thought they would at the beginning. We thought that there would be a lot of productivity increases in the economy, but we still haven't seen that much of a productivity increase, though there has been some increases. So we tend to overestimate the impact of these technologies at the beginning. Right now, AI is capturing a lot of attention, but AI is also coming up against some walls. AI specialists say that they are solvable, but they haven't solved it yet. So we'll have to see whether they do indeed solve it. And then the second element, which is perhaps a bubble, is that, as you mentioned at the beginning of the program, the NVIDIA led the rise because of changes in AI. But why should that affect all the other stocks in the market? Why should it affect the automobile stocks? Why should it affect, say, manufacturing stocks? So that perhaps is an over-optimism. There may be some other factors involved, like interest rates, but there does seem to be sort of an overreaction to how well NVIDIA did for the rest of the market.
And Wall Street has a going discussion. Is it too late to buy NVIDIA shares? Now, investors are curious, of course, fundamentally as to whether NVIDIA will be able to keep its growth momentum. So based on your expertise, Dr. Young, what are your growth prospects for the company? Would the bullish trend continue amid the AI boom? And does the company face any downside risks ahead?
Okay, well, right now, AI may be in a small bubble because AI has captured so much of our attention, and AI has done some really amazing things that are capturing people's imaginations. AI has become conversation partners. It's making deepfake photos. It's writing news articles and academic papers, so there are crucial flaws in the writing process. The AI is beginning to be used in the manufacturing process as well as white-collar office work, and it's doing really some amusing things. I've run across this video of Frank Sinatra singing Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit in big band style. So it's really getting a lot of attention, and that may be driving up the prices of AI-related stocks, NVIDIA getting the highest component of that. But there are also some flaws about AIs which are showing up. AI is based on big data that the companies gather and sort of teach these AIs about what's going on. And there's the old computer rule, garbage in, garbage out. If you feed bad data, then AI will become bad as well. We've seen some results where racist data input has made racist AIs. AI cannot really as yet easily distinguish between truth and lies. That's causing some problems in some news articles and academic papers that AI wrote. It's making some simple errors in deep fake photos, like having six fingers on hands. And it has trouble being original. When AI was asked to draw robots and space pirates, it basically copied copyrighted Star Wars posters. AI is having some problems, as I said. AI specialists are saying that this is a problem that can be solved, and they're implying they could do it quickly, but past technology growth does not necessarily show that these problems can be solved all that quickly. And then there are other problems as well. For example, I talked about the AI needing a lot of data to teach these AI to become AI. And there are a lot of content creators, a lot of writers are now talking about they need to get paid for AI companies that use their material to teach AIs. There are other competitors trying to catch up with NVIDIA. None are likely to overcome NVIDIA's head start in the next few years, but there may be potential strong competitors in the perhaps 5 years from now. And then NVIDIA faces problems from current U.S.-China trade and technology war, as U.S. is restricting higher-end NVIDIA chips for export to China, and U.S. may expand those chips that cannot be imported to China, where China is a very fast researcher on AI so far. And then NVIDIA may suffer from all other U.S. and European-based semiconductor companies. They have the same potential flaw, which is that they design, but they do not necessarily manufacture. So they're dependent on foundries like TSMC, Samsung, and Hynix to physically make their chips. And that may be an Achilles heel in the future, though right now it's contributing to NVIDIA's high profit and high stock prices.
Which brings us to our next question. South Korea's memory chip giant SK Hynix was one of the biggest beneficiaries of NVIDIA's record-setting results, as the surge also powered semiconductor stocks, but not all semiconductor stocks. Other local chip makers, including Samsung Electronics, were rather excluded from the gains on the rally. So how do you assess NVIDIA's influence on Korean firms?
Well, it really reflects on the weakness of Korean firms. Hynix is doing very well Ryzen NVIDIA chips because their manufacturer, Hynix founder, acts as a foundry for a lot of NVIDIA chips. But Korea has basically two big problems. The first is that Korea produces and exports memory chips, which is still a high-tech product, but compared to, say, chips that NVIDIA or Intel makes, it's relatively simple, and their profit margin is fairly small. And then Korea doesn't really make so-called system chips. That's the CPUs and graphics chips, as well as chips that have a lot of programming in them. And those are very high profit margin products, but Korea really isn't very strong on that. Second Korean flaw is that because Korea does not do well in these designs and program-related chips, they basically act as foundries. Foundries are also very low profit margin products. They require very high capital investment, because the designers of chips can pick and choose their manufacturers, the foundries do not necessarily make a lot of profit. NVIDIA and Intel, those companies which make system chips, they do not really have a lot of physical investment. They invest in people, they invest in services. So that accounts for some of the very high profit margins that these firms enjoy. But because Korea is more dependent on manufacturing, the profit margin here is lower. So that accounts for a lot of why even if NVIDIA stocks prices rise, that's not really shared by some of these foundry companies like Samsung and Hynix.
Korean firms are struggling to compete with other major global AI players, as you mentioned, some of the reasons. But many worry that too much regulations and also lack of government support may also be adding to why advancements are hampered. So what is your take on this, on government regulations and lack of government support, just not doing enough for local tech companies to expand their presence in the global AI industry?
Well, if you look at semiconductors, we see some problems that we always bring up is the Hynix investment in Yongin semiconductor factory. That's been factory building process has taken more than 8 years. In fact, it stopped completely for 3 years. One reason for that is the environmental impact report, which is required by law, and semiconductor companies really require a lot of water and electricity, and the problem here was water. Now, the Hynix factory was expected to use so much water that it was perhaps going to affect the water supply for population in Yongin. Mayoral candidates, when we had the regional elections, they all insisted that Samsung should pay more to get water from the Yongin area, and that held up a lot of the production process, Hynix. So that kind of environmental problems became, or regulatory problems became, political problems. And that's that's adding a lot of time to the factory setting up process, establishment process, and that is becoming one of the flaws. The Yoon administration has been saying that it will reduce some of the regulatory requirements for semiconductor producers, but the problem is a whole bunch of other regulations, not just for semiconductor industries, but other regulations that concerns building services, working hours, those all remain. So you have to solve a whole lot of problems, and I'm not sure if there's enough time to actually solve all those problems before the administration's term is over.
And it's not just the regulations. I know you alluded to it, but the lack of qualified researchers and technical personnel and keeping them here, that might be another talking point. When we talk about financing, and I've heard many in startups say this, there's just not enough really adventurous angel investors. Some of perhaps talking points that we can brought up again in the future time. As always, Dr. Young, thank you so much for your insights.
Thank you.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.